This is the State of Things from the studios of WCQS in downtown Asheville. I'm Frank Stacio. Democrat Terry Van Dyne is the newest member of the North Carolina Senate. She heads to Raleigh next month to represent District 49 in the seat held by longtime legislator Martin Nesbitt. Martin Nesbitt passed away last month. The retired businesswoman turned political activist will be the only sitting lawmaker to have been arrested at a Moral Monday protest at the General Assembly. Terry also serves on the board here at WCQS, and she joins us now. Terry Van Dyne, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for coming to Asheville.
It's great to be here, and I want to hear more about your background. How did you get involved in politics?
Maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started working for Patsy Kiever's campaign. I was not too happy with the representative I had in Congress, and I was very attracted to Patsy Kiever. She was a former teacher and worked for her campaign and then worked for the Obama campaign and have been interested in politics ever since.
Had you been following? I mean, was politics something, you know, what was your portal? Was there a particular issue or set of issues that, you know, sort of raised you to political consciousness?
Education. Mm-hmm. Education. When I moved to North Carolina, my son started third grade here. And we knew he had language delay problems and had him very extensively evaluated in Houston. And it wasn't until we came to Asheville when a third grade teacher diagnosed his problem. It was so obvious to her, she thought I was keeping it a secret. And it turns out my son is on the autism spectrum. And she knew that because of investments our state legislature had made in the University of North Carolina, something they call Division Teach, which does outreach to teachers about autism. So the thought of public investments in education having such an impact on my life and the lives of other children really resonated with me and has kind of motivated me to get more involved.
This is kind of the ultimate way into politics, a grassroots effort when people are engaged because of something that happened to them. Martin Nesbitt, of course, a politician known for his populism, somebody who represented the people in North Carolina. He came of age and served for more than three decades in a legislature when his party was in charge.
That's right. You are
now going to be the minority party. What's that going to be like for you?
My guess is it's going to be quite difficult, but I consider myself a pragmatist. I think although there are very key issues that we're going to divide very specifically on, there are an awful lot of issues where there's huge overlap. And I consider myself progressive, but you don't have to be progressive to talk to me, and I don't have to be conservative to listen to you. And I'm thinking there's a lot of overlap.
You were arrested at a Moral Monday protest, and
yes.
So does that put you in a position or cast you in a light as more progressive and perhaps sort of more polarized over and against your GOP counterparts?
I hope not. I hope not. As an individual, I don't consider myself an activist or a protester, but we were in an environment where legislation was coming so quickly, we had no ability to even respond to it. And I think that's what motivated me to say, this is not democracy as we know it. I had worked as the chairman of an advocacy committee and wasn't even able to get alerts out to my members because legislation was being introduced and passed in the same day. And I think I was reacting to the process as much as the quality of that legislation, although the quality was pretty distressing to me as well. So I don't see myself as an activist or even a protester, but it was a very extreme environment we found ourselves in, and I felt motivated to just say no.
Now, we should point out that you will sit in the upcoming short session in May and then stand for re-election or stand for election in November. So your appointed term is fairly short, really through November until there's an election, right?
That's exactly right.
So what are your priorities? You'll, again, in your appointed term, have a short stay, but what would your priorities be?
My first priority, of course, is education. it was very important to me and my family. And I think it's a fundamental value here in Western North Carolina. We're very proud of our teachers. We're very proud of our schools. And we're very distressed that our teachers are feeling so fundamentally disrespected.
What's the remedy? You know, what the legislature and the governor have been saying is, look, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to attract business. That's going to raise revenues overall, and we'll be in a much better place as a state. That's been the philosophy. How do you see that?
Well, I would disagree that they are cutting taxes. They are shifting the tax burden from corporations and the very well-to-do to the middle class, and that's different than cutting taxes. I also believe that for business, what makes a business successful is having a market full of customers that can afford to purchase their goods. So I don't see tax cuts as being the way to prosperity, especially if they're so focused at the top end.
Do we have to increase taxes in North Carolina?
We may need to redistribute taxes.
But how so? So that means without – somebody's going to have to pay more in taxes then.
I definitely do not support the elimination of corporate income taxes. I also don't support the leveling of tax brackets. I don't support the elimination of the earned income tax credit. These are things that made for a fairer playground among all North Carolinians, and we need to get back to that.
The other thing that we're hearing from Raleigh these days is that unemployment rate is going down. The idea of shortening the benefits period was a good idea. It got people out. Look, the unemployment rate is falling. You see, it worked.
I think what we're seeing is people dropping out of the workforce. That is not the same as bringing good, high-quality jobs to North Carolina. I would disagree with that assessment. And we sent an awful lot of money of our tax dollars back to Washington because of that decision.
On the State of Things today, we're talking with newly appointed 49th District in the State Senate District, Terry Van Dyne. She replaces Martin Nesbitt, who passed away last month, and she will be appointed. She's going to Raleigh. She'll be there in May and then stand for re-election in November. And you are listening to the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. You have a business background. You know what attracts businesses to a state like North Carolina and what repels them. What is it that would make North Carolina a more business-friendly environment?
Investments in education. I worked in a high-tech field. And if you look at the communities that have really blossomed in the last couple of decades, they've centered around high-tech, high education areas like Research Triangle Park or Silicon Valley. And those educational incubators are what create innovation and what create new jobs and new businesses.
You are going to have to stand for re-election. What do you think is the biggest challenge in your election, or I should say election, in that bid in November?
For me, of course, it will be the fact that at the same time that I am a brand new senator learning how to do that job, I also have to reintroduce myself to my constituents who may not know me very well. I did run for county commissioner, so I do have that experience. But finding time to get out in my district and meet my folks is going to be a little challenging given the time I have to spend in Raleigh. But that's what I'm really looking forward to doing.
You talked about education being perhaps the most important value and your priority, certainly, when you go to Raleigh. Obviously, money is one of the things. We see teachers leaving now in droves, and the numbers are coming in, and they're astonishing how many teachers are leaving because of the poor pay in this state, how badly we compare to other states. But is it just money? Because the other thing that we're hearing from Raleigh today from the GOP is that, look, there's something wrong with the system. There are no standards, and we need to really hold the system accountable. How much of that is right, and how much of our system has to change in terms of accountability, do you think?
The question is how are we holding it accountable? I think we are over-testing our kids. I hear that all the time from parents I talk to. Obviously, we need to get our money's worth out of education. I don't see that as being the big problem, though. We need our schools don't have textbooks. Our schools don't have paper. Our schools have teachers that are worried about their jobs. The Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation did a lot of research on what makes for a successful school, and we could have told them the answer. It's high-quality teachers. And if teachers are always in fear that they're not going to be able to pay their bills or that they may lose their job because tenure is threatened, how are they going to be motivated to do a good job? I don't think testing is the problem.
Terry Van Dyne, a pleasure to meet you. Nice to talk with you. Thanks for being on the program.
Well, and thank you again for coming to Asheville.
Terry Van Dyne represents the 49th District in the North Carolina Senate, also serves on the board here at WCQS. We are live from Asheville, and our program continues with the sounds of outer space. MoogFest has come to Asheville, and we'll tell you all about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.